Penn State Public Radio.
Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 43 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Samantha Morrill.
And I'm Chaz Jenkins.
What makes this case?
Kentucky State Police are seeking the public's help.
What makes this case so difficult is it's hard to establish a motive with Mr. Souders. He was a good person from all indications.
Kentucky State Police are seeking the public's help in their investigation of a 2014 Moorhead murder.
Kentucky lawmakers are looking forward to Unite's 6th Prescription Drug Abuse and Heroin Summit later this month.
And Olive Hill has filled a city council vacancy.
In sports, the Cincinnati Reds won their series against the Phillies.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Rain this evening with lows around 36 degrees. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
Police in Boyd County are looking for the man who is said to have robbed the Town Square Bank in Catlettsburg Wednesday. According to WSAZ, the robbery took place just before 5 p.m. Police say the suspect has 3 bandaged fingers and a teardrop tattoo. He reportedly did not indicate that he had a weapon and escaped in a stolen green minivan with Ohio tags. An undisclosed amount of cash was taken.
As Kentucky State Police try to solve a 2014 Moorhead murder, they're asking for members of the public to come forward with any information they might have about the case. 82-year-old Lloyd Sauders was found bludgeoned to death in the driveway of his home on Lafayette Drive in October of that year. Since Sauders was apparently well-liked, the KSP's lead investigator, Sergeant Toby Gardner, says establishing a motive for his slaying has been difficult. He admits at this point he's yet to identify any solid suspects in the case.
Unfortunately, no. We have several people whose name keeps popping up. But for whatever reason or another, we just don't have any information to move them, say, from a person of interest to a suspect.
Gardner says with tips still coming in, he remains optimistic state police will eventually find out who killed Sauders. Should you have any information about the case, you're asked to call the KSP's Moorhead Post at 784-4127.
A man known as the Godfather of Grass has been deported from Canada and will be brought back to Kentucky to face federal marijuana charges. KNN's Suzanne Duvall has more.
73-year-old Johnny Boone was turned over to U.S. authorities Wednesday and is being held in a Vermont prison pending his return to Kentucky. Boone was convicted in the 1980s in what prosecutors call the largest domestic marijuana syndicate in American history. He was the head of the so-called Cornbread Mafia, which had 30 pot farms in 9 states. Boone has said marijuana is sometimes one of the things that puts bread on the table. He fled to Canada after a 2008 indictment. I'm Suzanne Duvall.
Congressman Hal Rogers says Unite's 6th annual Prescription Drug Abuse and Heroin Summit later this month in Atlanta comes at a time when the problem is exploding across the country. The Pulaski County Republican says the conference April 17th through the 20th will feature medical and law enforcement professionals as well as elected leaders trying to craft strategies to deal with the problem.
The treatment people need to understand what the prosecutors are doing, and the judges need to know what the attorneys general think about it and so on. And it's a great place for sharing of ideas and learning from each other and taking best practices and spread them across the country.
Rogers spoke at a House Appropriations Subcommittee meeting in Washington Wednesday. He founded Unite 14 years ago to take a holistic approach to combating drug abuse in eastern Kentucky.
Rowan jailer Wes Coldiron is preparing for the day when he has to move his staff and the detention center's prisoners over to the county's new lockup. The new facility will have nearly 300 beds, much larger than Rowan's current 78-bed jail. With that in mind, Coldiron says his current staff members will have to go through an orientation process before the move to get adjusted to their new surroundings. He also wants to add 6 additional deputies to the jail's duty roster prior to the expected January changeover.
Hopefully, this court will let me get them hired in. I'll at least have them trained here in this facility some before we make the move so they know they'll understand how to do paperwork, all the major stuff. And then, you know, once you make the move, it's just pretty much knowing your way around that big jail, where to go, somebody needs something, or, you know, doing all your checks on them. It's just going to be a process. It's just going to take a little bit of time to figure out once we make that move.
Construction continues on Rowan County's new $18 million detention center on U.S. 60 east of Moorhead.
Kentucky's junior senator is calling it obscene. Republican Rand Paul is referring to searches of cell phones of American citizens by federal agents as those citizens return to the U.S. after traveling overseas. Paul told Homeland Security Secretary John Kelly at a hearing in Washington Wednesday that the practice is becoming more common and there's no reason for it, except under extraordinary circumstances.
We've gone from 5,000 people having their cell phone searched to 25,000. We are denying people entry who are citizens or green card holders who are coming back home, and your department is saying to them, you cannot return to your home without giving us your fingerprint and giving us all of the data on your phone, access to all of the data on your phone. I think this is an extraordinarily unreasonable standard.
Paul says people have no idea what the federal government is doing with information they've retrieved from personal cell phones. He's asking Secretary Kelly to take a closer look at airport security measures.
An attempt by Republican Congressman Andy Barr to chastise the Federal Consumer Financial Protection Bureau for being insensitive to the financial needs of Kentucky soldiers serving overseas appeared to blow up in his face Wednesday. The Lexington lawmaker told CFPB Director Richard Cordray that regulations his agency is enforcing are causing Kentuckians in the military to pay additional fees for international remittances. Barr says federal credit unions that used to handle such transactions have stopped doing them.
In Kentucky, we have a number of military bases, Fort Knox, Fort Campbell. Fort Knox Federal Credit Union has members all across the world, and they have discontinued offering this much-needed service due to fear of not being compliant after 100 remittances a year. Why won't you provide relief to service members and their families?
In terms of remittances in particular, are you aware of who required there to be that rule?
Well, I'm telling you,
Congress required that rule. That's in the law.
Barr claims the CFPB has discretion not to enforce it, but Cordray says if that's what Congress wants, it should change the law.
The Carter County Fiscal Court is facing a lawsuit from one of its residents. MSPR's Logan Pemberton has the story.
The Grayson Journal-Enquirer reports that Scott Stewart is filing the action, citing that the county's landfill ordinance specifically states that no person shall dispose of hazardous waste in Carter County. The fiscal court voted on February 15th to allow a SOP permit for medical waste services to locate a facility at the East Park Industrial Park. It was originally planned to be built near Carter City, but nearby residents complained about the potential for biohazards and odor issues. The facility's location was then moved. Medical waste services had refuted those claims, saying its sanitation procedures would have prevented any form of harmful or odorous emissions. Judge Executive Mike Malone has declined to comment on the case. For MSPR News, this is Logan Pemberton.
A bridge closure in Martin County left many homeowners concerned yesterday. The closed bridge is at the 6.9-mile marker near Kentucky 1184. Bridge engineer Shane Allen says the substructure of the bridge has deteriorated, which made the bridge unsafe for traffic. Timothy Lambert, who lives near the bridge, expressed his concern about the closure to WYMT.
I think next time they should give a bigger notice, let more people know that something like this is going to happen, and see how it would affect people, see if they couldn't make an alternate route closer instead of going around.
The Kentucky Department of Transportation says repairs could take a couple of months. For now, Kentucky 1884 can be used as a detour.
The Olive Hill City Council has filled its vacancy. Former councilman Matt Kaiser was recently named to replace Jerry Callahan, who moved up last month to become the town's acting mayor after the death of Kenny Fankel. Kaiser says he returns to the panel with some key goals he'd like to accomplish.
We've got a waterline project coming up through the middle of town. Definitely want to improve on our infrastructure. Like to see some more things come in for the youth of the area, more so than the city park, things along those lines. Try to find something for Olive Hill to grow and thrive on. You know, we're not a big industrial hub, so we'll try to focus on something else to maybe bring some people into the area.
Kaiser says Olive Hill's tourism industry is helped by its proximity to Carter Cave State Park and Cave Run Lake. He initially served on city council from 2012 through 2016. Kaiser lost a write-in bid for re-election last November.
Proposed tax increases on tobacco and liquor in Ohio will drive Buckeyes into Kentucky, West Virginia, and other border states to buy those items and other things, dealing a blow to Ohio's grocery stores. That's what the president of the Ohio Grocers Association told a panel of state lawmakers Wednesday. Kristen Mullins says hiking the cigarette tax by 65 cents a pack to $2.25 and raising taxes on most alcohol products by 70% will result in more Ohioans shopping in other states.
The proposed alcohol tax on beer and wine would place Ohio as the highest among our border states for beer, highest for wine over 14% ABV, and second highest for wine under 14%. Our industry is so competitive, and we know our customers will travel from store to store to shop around for the best deals, even if this means going across the border.
Mullen says 46% of Ohio's population lives in border counties. Governor John Kasich has proposed higher tobacco and liquor taxes in his new two-year budget.
A Morehead State University alumni has been back on campus, making the rounds in Breckenridge Hall. A 1995 graduate of MSU, Glenn Hall has serves as the executive director of digital content for Raycom Media. He's been visiting Convergent Media classes to speak to students about journalistic issues, including how to get into the business and what constitutes fake news. Hal says he owes much of the success in his career to his time in college when he worked at Morehead State Public Radio.
I likely would never have gone down the path that I ended up taking if it weren't for, one, deciding that I needed to do something on campus that was beyond just going to classes, and then, two, to sort of figure out what my passions were. I think that between Chuck and Paul and various other people who were at the station at the time, it was kind of an awakening as to the things that I wanted to do and gave me more understanding of who I was.
In addition to speaking to students, Hal has been holding internship and employment interviews for Raycom Media during his visit to Morehead State.
In a cost-saving effort, an unlikely Kentucky building is switching to solar-powered energy. The Kentucky Coal Mining Museum in Benham is owned by Southeast Kentucky Community and Technical College, which has recently faced some budget cuts. Communications Director Brandon Robinson told WYMT the project will help save at least $8,000 to $10,000 in the long run. He calls the Coal Museum solar project a little ironic, but a very worthy effort. The solar panel project was funded through an outside foundation. Robinson says all the money saved by the switch will go right back into the college, its programs, and students.
Looking at the weather tonight, rain showers this evening with overcast skies overnight, low of 36 degrees, chance of rain 40%. Friday, cloudy, high of 52 degrees. Friday night, some clouds early will give way to generally clear conditions overnight, scattered frost possible, low around 31 degrees. Saturday, sun and a few passing clouds, high of 62 degrees. Saturday night, clear to partly cloudy, lows around 43 degrees. Sunday, a few clouds from time to time, high of 76 degrees. Temperatures for the listening area, Ashland, 45 degrees, Flemingsburg, 44 degrees, Inez and Winchester, 45 degrees, Lexington, 44 degrees, and in Moorhead, it's 43 degrees.
The time is 4:43. You're listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm Samantha Morrill, here with Chaz Jenkins, and we're glad to be with you on this Thursday afternoon. On our feature segment, Morehead State recently announced the hiring of the university's 14th head men's basketball coach. MSPR's Braxton Howard reports.
Preston Spradlin was given a four-year contract to take the job last week after leading MSU on an interim basis for most of the 2016-17 season. He took over the Eagles in December after the resignation of Sean Woods. At 30 years old, Spradlin becomes the youngest head coach in Division I, which he calls a dream come true.
It feels kind of surreal that this is kind of the moment where I feel like I've achieved something at this point. It doesn't mean I'm going to settle, but it is a very nice moment.
A native of Pikeville, Spradlin graduated from Betsy Lane High School before going on to play at Alice Lloyd College from 2005 to 2009. After getting his diploma from Alice Lloyd, Spradlin was hired to become a staff member for the University of Kentucky basketball program under Hall of Fame coach John Calipari. He spent five seasons at UK before joining Woods' staff as an assistant at Morehead State in 2014. In becoming MSU's head coach, Spradlin had to beat out over 100 applicants for the job. Athletic Director Brian Hutchinson says the search committee liked the vision Spradlin expressed for the Eagles program during the interview process. Hutchinson thinks it's great that the Morehead State program is being turned over to a man with deep Eastern Kentucky roots.
I think in many ways what he represents is a dream that a lot of people from our neck of the woods have. I mean, I'm from Eastern Kentucky as well, and you know, the opportunity to serve Morehead State University in a role like I have is nothing that I ever dreamed about doing. I mean, maybe it was beyond those dreams. And I think for Preston, there's some of that too. And so if he has a chance to represent where he's from and the people in our service region but through being the head basketball coach, I think that can be pretty special.
During his stint as MSU's interim coach, Spradlin's biggest fans became many of his players. Freshman guard Jamin Henson of Indianapolis was one of them. Henson says he and his teammates are happy that Spradlin will be sticking around as their bench boss.
It's going to be a fresh start. We love his style of play. We love him as a coach on and off the court, so it's going to be a fun ride for the next few years.
Sophomore forward Lamontre Harris of Louisville adds the Eagle players have a lot of respect for Spradlin.
He's a good guy, and on the court he lets us play freely. You know, it's more of a trust thing. I've been knowing him for a while now, about a year and a half or so, and we've grown a relationship together, so I love him, you know. Press is my guy.
In addition to finding recruits to fill the holes left by the Eagles' 5 graduation losses and hiring a staff, Spradlin says his goal is to return MSU's basketball program to the top of the OVC standings.
I'm excited about the guys that are going to be here because they're all bought in with exactly the plan that I have for this place, and they're going to really be involved in the community, and they're going to bring different things to the table, things that, you know, maybe areas of coaching that I haven't had a chance to dive into, and bring different things to the table that are really going to help us going forward.
For Spradlin, the adventure of a lifetime will start with the Eagles' first game next November. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Braxton Howard.
The time is 4:45, and Braxton Howard's been keeping an eye on the larger sports world as well. He's coming up in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can easily be accommodated. Featuring a variety of gifts, cards, locally made crafts, and now a complete yarn shop. A community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Moorhead. The Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop and Coffee Tree Books are open Monday through Saturday, online, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Good afternoon with Moorhead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Cincinnati Reds finished off their series with the Phillies today at Great American Ballpark. The Reds head off the Phils 7-4. Cody Reed picked up the win for the Reds, who moved to 2-1 on the year. Michael Lorenzen and Adam Duvall both homered for the Redlegs. Cincy visits St. Louis tomorrow for a 3-game weekend series with the Cardinals. In other games from around the MLB today, the Twins beat Kansas City 5-3. The Rockies lead the Brewers 2-1 in the ninth. The Cubs lead the Cardinals 6-4 in the ninth inning. The White Sox lead Detroit 9-1 in the sixth. It's the Dodgers over the Padres 4-2 in the sixth. The A's lead the Angels 4-1 in the fourth. The Nationals, Marlins, and Pirates Red Sox games have been postponed. After a 5-1 loss last night at West Virginia, it's off to UT Martin for a weekend OVC series for the 22-7 Morehead State baseball team. Coach Mike McGuire's Eagles reside in second place in the league, 3.5 games behind Tennessee Tech.
Yeah, you know, I mean, Tennessee Tech's playing great. You know, they're 12-0 in the league. We're 8-1, so, you know, we got to keep pace with them. We don't play Tennessee Tech until the last weekend of the regular season, so. You know, we want to win the regular season championship, and in order for us to do that, we got to keep doing what we've been doing. That's win ball games.
The Eagles should have a good chance to do that this weekend. Martin is just 1-11 in OVC play, 9-16 overall. Morehead State softball coach David Williams says the 20-12 Eagles need to be consistent in their ability to score runs. With a few key players returning to his lineup from injury, he believes that can happen.
I would hope so. Yes, I would hope so. You know, there's probably going to be a little bit of a honeymoon period. With some of those players getting back into the flow of things, because they've missed several games now. But I think we can get back into the flow of things. I think that we can get a little more consistency, and we'll start to add more power back into our offense for sure.
The MSU softball team has 2 OVC doubleheaders at home this weekend. It entertains Eastern Illinois Saturday and SIU Edwardsville on Sunday. Kentucky sophomore guard Isaiah Briscoe has declared for the NBA draft and has hired an agent. Briscoe averaged 12 points, 5 rebounds, and 4 assists for the Wildcats this past season. He is projected as a late second-round pick. In some other notes from college basketball, Kansas sophomore forward Carlton Bragg has announced he will transfer. The former 5-star recruit averaged 5 points and 4 rebounds a game last season for the Jayhawks. And Duke sophomore guard Luke Kennard has announced that he will enter the NBA draft and sign with an agent. Kennard averaged 20 points and 5 rebounds a game last season for Duke. He is projected as a top 20 pick. A day after naming its all-star girls squad, the Ashland Daily Independent has named its all-area boys basketball team. More from MSPR's Chuck Moraz.
The star-studded group is headed by Lawrence County swingman Tim Dalton, who's the paper's player of the year for a second straight season. Dalton averaged over 37 points and 14 rebounds a game for the 22-12 Bulldogs. Lawrence County's Travis York and Elliott County's Greg Atkins share the Coach of the Year honors. Rowan County's Michael Antropos and Deshaun Woods are on the all-area squad, along with Wes Carter's Hayden Rowe and Ben Jordan, Fleming's Zach Alexander, Elliott's Corbin Spencer, and Bath County's Jake Mitchell. For MSPR Sports, I'm Chuck Moraz.
Morehead State football coach Rob Tenure wants his offense to improve its running game during spring practices. The Eagles rushed for an average of 135 yards per game last season and finishing at 4-7, but Tenure thinks they have the potential to do better than that number significantly in 2017.
I feel like we've got, you know, a really nice backfield with some guys returning with major experience, and again, our offensive line is back, so I think that we need to be able to run the football. More consistency, especially early downs and short yardage. And then also have some big-time chunk play runs. You know, we got to get some plus 15, plus 20 runs. We've got to have four or five of those a game.
Redshirt freshman Trevor Jones of Estill County returns next season after leading MSU with 507 yards on the ground last fall. Louisville Heisman Trophy winner Lamar Jackson will have a big back to hand the ball off to when he's not running it himself or throwing it. 6'2", 235-pound redshirt freshman Day Williams is said to be impressing Coach Bobby Petrino and his staff during spring drills. Williams, though, says he is just one of many good running backs on the U of L roster.
We got a lot of variety. You know, you got the speed backs, and then we got Jeremy, who kind of gives it all, and then I guess you can call me the power back if you like. But I would say we have a pretty wide variety of backs right now.
Senior Jeremy Smith returns after finishing third on the card stat sheet in 2016 with 387 yards rushing. The 81st annual Masters Tournament is underway. Currently, William McGritt and Jason Duffner are atop the leaderboard at 3-under par. 2015 winner and last year's runner-up Jordan Spieth says the Augusta National Golf Course remains a mystery no matter how often you compete in the Masters.
I've got a lot to learn still about this golf course. That's something I've said a lot of times, is that the reason I love this place so much is that I do learn something new about it every single time I play it, a different angle, a different break. I can't say that about many other places.
The world number one golfer and favorite to win the tournament, Dustin Johnson, withdrew from the event after falling downstairs yesterday and hurting his back. And finally, in sports, Churchill Downs has re-innovated the clubhouse ahead of the Kentucky Derby. Will Clark has more.
We've doubled the number of restrooms, significantly added concession stands, wagering windows, ATM machines, you name it, there's more of it in this space.
Churchill Downs General Manager Ryan Jordan says the $16 million project also added a new sports bar and gold room that will share a balcony that overlooks the paddock. The project also converted a warehouse area into the Aristides Lounge, a two-level area that will be used for special events during Derby and as the simulcast facility the rest of the year. I'm Will Clark.
That's it for sports. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagles softball will host a doubleheader with Eastern Illinois on Saturday and SIU Edwardsville on Sunday. Games are scheduled at noon and 2 o'clock p.m. both days. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
You're listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. The time is 4:53. Coming up at 5 o'clock is All Things Considered from NPR, taking a look at some of the stories they'll be covering. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson says President Bashar Assad should no longer have a role in governing the Syrian people after this week's chemical attack, and the U.S. is evaluating an appropriate response. Tillerson said Thursday, "There is no doubt in our minds that Assad's government was behind the attack that killed dozens of innocent people in rebel-held northern Idlib." President Bashar Assad's government has come under mounting international pressure after a chemical attack in northern Syria, with even key ally Russia saying its support is not unconditional. Turkey says initial tests of samples from victims indicate they were exposed to sarin gas. And the Senate has cleared the way for a Friday confirmation vote on President Donald Trump's nominee for the Supreme Court. On Thursday, the Senate voted 55-45 to successfully block Judge Neil Gorsuch, denying Republicans the 60 votes they needed to move forward. Republicans then voted to eliminate the 60-vote threshold, allowing them to proceed to the Friday vote with a simple majority. About 50 Baltimore residents testified at an hours-long public hearing on a proposed agreement between the city and the Justice Department to overhaul the city's police force. Nearly all residents voiced their support Thursday for the agreement and urged U.S. District Judge James Bretter to sign off on it. And finally, the chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee says he thinks his counterpart in the House made a good decision in recusing himself from the investigation into Russian activities during the election. Senator Richard Burr of North Carolina says he thinks Representative Devin Nunes' move to temporarily step aside will help minimize the politicization of the probes. Again, those stories and more are coming up at 5 o'clock right here on Morehead State Public Radio from All Things Considered. Time is 4:54, and Bud Luke has the stock report.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. equities closed well off of session highs after President Donald Trump said he's willing to act alone on North Korea if China does not step up. And this, of course, as the president starts a two-day meeting with the president of China. Also, Trump and the State Secretary Rex Tillerson signaled they're seeking now to remove Assad from power in Syria, an apparent reversal following a suspected chemical attack the White House has blamed on the Syrian government. And at the close, the Dow Industrials finished with a gain of 14.8 at 20,662.95. The S&P 500 was up 4.54 at 2,357.49, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 14.47. at 5,878.95. Sentiment on Wall Street was shaky after the Dow and S&P both posted their biggest one-day reversal in 14 months yesterday. The downside turnaround began after the minutes from the Federal Reserve's March meeting showed officials were ready to unwind the central bank's massive $4.5 billion balance sheet. Also spooking the markets were Fed comments to the effect that they think the stock market may be overvalued. The markets were also impacted yesterday by comments from House Speaker Paul Ryan, in which he indicated that tax reform is still a ways off. In the commodities markets, oil was up 1.13% today at $51.73 a barrel, while gold was up just under 0.5% at $1,254.10 an ounce. In Europe, markets were up with the Stoxx 600 gaining about 0.2%. Asia was down, with the Nikkei down 1.4% and the Hang Seng down just over 0.5%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Caterpillar and Chevron, while the worst performers were Procter & Gamble and Intel. In the S&P 500, the best performers were L Brands and Constellation Brands, and the worst performers were Advanced Micro Devices and Insight. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Incorporated up 43 cents at $124.94, CSX up 57 cents at $47.71, AEP down 21 cents at $67.62, AK Steel up 22 cents at $7.05, Marathon Petroleum up 40 cents at $49.83, and Kroger was up 19 cents to finish at $29.50. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for programming on Morehead State Public Radio is provided by Donate Life Kentucky. By joining Kentucky's Organ Donor Registry when renewing your driver's license, you can help 1,000 Kentucky children and adults who are waiting for a life-saving transplant. Anyone can register as an organ donor, no matter your age. More information is online at trustforlife.org.
Looking at the weather tonight, rain showers this evening, with overcast skies overnight, low of 36 degrees, chance of rain 40%. Friday cloudy, high of 52 degrees. Friday night, some clouds early, will give way to generally clear conditions overnight. Scattered frost possible, lows around 31 degrees. Saturday, sun and a few passing clouds, high of 62 degrees. Saturday night, clear to partly cloudy, lows around 43 degrees. Sunday, a few clouds from time to time, high of 76 degrees. Sunday night, a few clouds, low of 53 degrees. Monday, intervals of clouds and sunshine, high of 78 degrees. Monday night, a few clouds from time to time, lows around 57 degrees. Tuesday, cloudy skies during the morning hours, followed by scattered showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon, high of 71 degrees, chance of rain 40%. And on Tuesday night, partly cloudy skies, lows around 50 degrees, and it is 43 degrees in Morehead. And in the other listening areas, in Ashland, it's 45 degrees, Flemingsburg, 44 degrees, Inez, 45 degrees, Lexington, 44 degrees, and Winchester, 45 degrees.
And that's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from MSPR staff Chuck Moraz, Dan Conti, Braxton Howard, Courtney Howell, Sean Delaney, Ashley Davidson, and Logan Pemberton. From the Kentucky News Network, Will Clark and Suzanne Duvall. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Chaz Jenkins and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Samantha Morrill for Morehead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.